Okay, so this is a test. We began talking about this a couple of weeks ago, looking at test patterns, and I asked how many of you remember this particular test pattern. That one will age you, especially if you remember it in black and white, right? So that tells you a little bit about how old you are if you remember this particular one. But there was a warning that came along with this. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. All right, it's only a test. If this had been a true emergency, you would have been informed as to where to go and what to do in that emergency. Well, we're looking at some various tests that the Bible tells us about. The Bible talks about a whole lot of different tests. And, you know, what we want to do with this, and part of the purpose is for us not to wait until it's an emergency. Okay, the Bible is telling us what to do and where to go to prepare for the emergency. Okay, so we want to be prepared before the emergency happens so that we're not kind of running around at the last minute and we get what? Left behind. Right? So when the Bible talks about all kinds of different tests, and that's what we're looking at in this study, there's two main types of tests that we're looking at. First are tests that God gives to us, all right? Tests that God performs on us, or tests that he administers, if you want to use that word, to us, okay? And then there are those tests that we are to give, all right? Tests we're to give to ourselves and in other areas, and so we're going to look at some of those also. Now, the purpose of all of these tests that the Bible talks about is to strengthen our faith, right? They're not intended to try to get you to fail, okay? Like sometimes, you know, do teachers really do that? You know, give you a test because they want to, no, they don't really do that, do they? God never does that because he doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed. So the purpose of the test that God gives us is to strengthen us and to draw us closer to him. So we need to be asking ourselves constantly, okay, how am I doing? Use the test to evaluate, how am I doing? Okay. So as we look at these tests, today we're going to be talking about a really vitally important test. And that is the heart test. Okay? The heart test. Now, all of us are aware we may have had health problems, heart problems in the past. We may know of somebody who has heart problems. We are aware when heart problems come on, that's something that is serious, right? All you have to do, you go into the emergency room and tell them you're having some heart problems, and man, I tell you what, people that are otherwise just kind of, you know, doing whatever, they jump to it, right? Isn't that right? Okay? An ambulance comes because you think you're having a heart attack, and everybody starts moving. They don't waste any time. Why? Because heart attacks are serious. In fact, we have a phrase that we oftentimes use in talking about something we want to emphasize to someone how important this is. We say, that is serious as a heart attack, right? So we know how important heart problems can be, right? And so we have all kinds of warnings and all kinds of signs that people we encourage to look for and watch for these things in case you may be feeling like you're having a heart attack or someone near you or around you may be having a heart attack. We want people to be aware of that so that we can save lives, right? Well, what we're going to be talking about today is really the same principle, realizing this is serious as a heart attack, okay? And what we want to do is to save spiritual lives. So I hope that you will pay attention to what I'm going to share with you this morning about the idea of spiritual heart problems. When we have heart problems, we think we're having a heart attack or heart problems. There are all kinds of tests that are run. They do all kinds of blood tests. They do stress tests like this. Try to find out what is going on within the heart. Okay? One of the things that oftentimes is done, you think you're having heart problems or you are having heart problems, they give you baby aspirin. Well, I couldn't help but put this up there for you to see. Chuck, I don't know if this applies to you or not. You know, with Chuck's recent heart problems he had, do you take baby aspirin or crybaby aspirin?
Baby.
You say baby aspirin. Okay. All right. Can y'all read that caption? The doctor said you've been whining about taking a baby aspirin every day, so he's switching you to crybaby aspirin. Okay. Again, that's one of those things that doctors have found. This helps, you know, with the heart and so forth. So there are a lot of things that we do to take care of our physical heart, aren't there? We do a lot of preventive things to try to keep a healthy heart. But then when we're having heart problems, there are specific things that doctors will have us do in order to repair the heart or to strengthen it and so that we can continue living, right? Let's talk about the spiritual heart for a little bit. Let's talk about a spiritual EKG, right? The EKG for the physical heart reads and tells what the rhythm is and all of those kinds of things. Well, let's talk about a spiritual EKG for a few moments, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the text that Ray read for us as we began this morning. Paul says, "You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition." Now, understand here what Paul is laying out is the problems, the difficulties, the persecution that he and those with him were facing in trying to spread the gospel. Amen. They're trying to share the gospel to others, and they're facing, he says, strong opposition to their efforts to share the gospel. He says, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you." So again, in talking about the gospel and sharing the gospel, he wants them to know where this gospel comes from and the efforts that have been put into sharing that gospel with them. And he goes on to say, "We speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." Now, I want to stop here for just a second and cause you to think about this aspect. You know, we talk all the time about teaching the Bible to other people and sharing the Bible and so forth. Have you ever stopped to think about it from the perspective that you have been entrusted to share that gospel?
Amen.
You see? You have been entrusted by God to share it. Doesn't, when you think about it that way, doesn't it kind of maybe raise it up just a level, at least, in terms of what we're supposed to be doing? He says, "We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." And then look at this last part of this. He says, "We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts." Okay? God who tests our heart. We're not telling people to make them happy. We're not trying to please people. But we are trying to please God. Why? Because God is testing our hearts. You say, okay, well, but what about this test? What is he looking for? Well, let's go back just a little bit. Look at what he says. "The appeal that we make does not spring from error or impure motives." In other words, why are we doing what we're doing? What's the motivation behind what we're doing? That's what God is looking at. You see? He's looking at the motives. He's testing the heart to see what the motives are. And again, remember that it is God who is doing this testing, looking at our heart to see What's motivating us to do what it is that we're doing? In this case, Paul's talking specifically about spreading the gospel. The motive that he had was not to make people happy, not to please people, not to gather a great following of people around him, but it was to teach the pure word of God. You say, and to please God. That was his motive. And he, knowing that God was looking at his heart, what was driving him to teach that gospel. The wise man in Proverbs 16 and verse 2 says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but there it is again. Motives are weighed by the Lord. You see, what I'm wanting to do is to help you to be able to see the connection between the heart and what motivates it. Because that's what God is looking at. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul here says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will, look at this, expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. What is God looking at in this heart test that he's giving to us? He's looking at our motives. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Okay? What's in our heart? In other words, as at one point we can ask the question, why are you here this morning? In other words, when we ask that why, that's the motive. What's the motive for you being here this morning? Is it because it's Sunday and you know you're supposed to go to church? If that's the reason that you're here, then I'd suggest that maybe you need to look at your motive. You see? So that's just one example of how sometimes we can even be doing the right things, but we're doing them for the wrong reason. We've talked about many times in Jesus facing the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law of his day, and pointing out to them and referring to them as hypocrites, saying, well, did Isaiah prophesy about these people saying they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me? They're doing the right things, but their heart was not motivated by the right things. So God in this heart test is looking at what is motivating us to do the things that we are doing. When God was ready to choose a successor to King Saul, the king of the Israelites, he sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king. And when Samuel went there and he saw the oldest of Jesse's sons, okay, here's what it says. It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord responded to Samuel by saying this, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. Now, one of the interesting things about Eliab, Jesse's oldest, was, you know, he was a warrior, okay? And apparently, by his appearance, he looked kingly, okay? And that's probably why Samuel, when he saw him, said, oh, this must be the Lord's anointed. This will be the next king. But when you read a little bit later in Samuel about the story of David and Goliath, when Jesse sent David there to the battlefield to go and take some bread and such to his brothers, you look at Eliab's response to David being there and kind of inquiring and questioning what's going on with the army and this Philistine and so forth, you see that Eliab apparently had this jealous streak that was going on within him. He was pretty upset that David was there and trying to stick his nose into their business where he didn't belong and that kind of a thing. You see, that's what the Lord saw. Samuel saw the outside, a kingly appearance, but the Lord was looking at the heart. So he knew of this jealousy that Eliab most likely tended to. And so he says here, I have rejected him.
Amen.
When David was old, getting ready to pass on the kingdom to his son Solomon, there was still one great task that needed to be fulfilled, and that was to build the temple of the Lord. And that task was given to Solomon. The Lord specifically told David he would not build the temple for him because David was a warrior. But here's what David said to Solomon as he was preparing him for that task. He said, "You, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord, look at this, searches every heart and understands every," and there it is again, "motive behind the thoughts." The Lord searches every heart, and he understands every motive. Okay? If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. You see, over and over and over again, what we see connected with in this test, this heart test, is what God is looking for is the motives of the heart. What is driving us to do what we are doing? Okay. What's behind what we're doing? It comes from the heart. And God is looking at the heart to see what that motivation is. Okay? We need to then take some time to reflect on our heart and the condition of our heart. Right? Look at this particular passage. The writer of Proverbs, a wise man in 27:19, says, "As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart." Now think about that a moment. See, you go and you look at your face in the water of a creek or what have you, or you look in a mirror. And that reflection tells you what your face looks like, doesn't it? But what the wise man here wants us to understand is this right here. The way that one lives day to day reveals what the heart really loves. What's in the heart, that's reflected by the way we live our daily life. No matter what we claim, no matter what we say, it is our day-to-day life that reflects what's really in our heart. So we need to take a reflection sometimes. We need to reflect. We need to stop and take an assessment, a look. How am I living day to day? When we do that, that will give us a good reading, if you will, of what's in the heart. The psalmist says in 139, 23, 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me," he says. Now, look at the things that the psalmist is saying he wants God to look for in this test of his heart. Okay? He says, know my anxious thoughts. Look at my heart, Lord, and see whatever anxious thoughts might be there. And he says, see if there is any offensive way in me. So in this heart test, the psalmist here is saying, God, look at my heart and search and find if there's any of these things in here. Whatever my anxious thoughts are, find them for me. If there's any offensive way, find that for me. And then look at the last part he says, and lead me in the way everlasting. Heart test. Heart test. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you've read this time and time again. I don't know. Maybe you've never read it. But can I challenge you, as I have done to myself? Okay. Read this passage every day. Okay. Ask God to give you this test every day and see what that does to your life. I know for myself personally, as I was preparing this lesson and really focusing on this passage, I've had to look at some things and go, wow, okay, God, he's showing me some stuff. So I put that challenge before you. Pray this psalm every day and see what God will do with you in the way that he leads you away from those anxious thoughts and away from whatever offensive ways might be within you, but lead you to his righteousness. Challenge. Finally, let's talk about the heart surgeon. Okay? When we have a heart problem, okay, then we have to go and get a doctor. Now, I was able to get a picture, actually a picture of the doctor working on Chuck's heart. Okay? So that they could repair the struggles that he was having there with his heart, right? Because that's what happened. When you got heart problems, you go to the doctor and the doctor's going to fix. He's going to try to fix whatever's going on there, right? That's what heart surgeons do. We have the greatest heart surgeon there is. And I want you to look at this passage, okay, in 1 John chapter 3. Look at what John writes here. And I hope this really sinks into you. He says, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. How often have you perhaps felt like your heart was condemning you? In other words, that maybe you felt overwhelmed by guilt because of something that you've done or said or haven't done that you should have or whatever it is, but your heart is weighed heavy by the guilt of that sin. And what John is telling us here is, again, go back and look at it. We know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest. In other words, in the midst of that, when our heart is condemning us, we can find peace and we can find rest. How is that possible? Well, look at the last line of this. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Amen. Okay? That's a message I want to just, if I could burn it into your heart, okay, this morning. God is greater than our hearts. Can you say that with me? God is greater than our hearts. You see, Satan wants to take us and beat us up with the guilt from whatever it is that we've done, whatever sin problems we struggle with. Satan wants to beat us up. He wants to tear our heart apart. But God, who is greater than our hearts, He can overcome. He's the surgeon, the heart surgeon, that can overcome that guilt that we beat ourselves up with. Why? Because He loves us. And He wants our heart. He wants us to have a heart for Him. And so He forgives us of the sin. While we beat ourselves up over it and we tear ourselves down, He says, no, I love you too much to have you do that. Here's what Guyon Woods, I know you may not be able to see that really, really clear, but here's what Guyon Woods, one of our great brothers of the, you know, scholars of the Brotherhood way, way back, here's what he says about this passage, this statement, okay? He says, if in spite of the assurance provided, we yet suffer the uneasiness which springs from the realization of our own weaknesses and the consciousness of our own imperfection. In other words, again, we beat ourselves up with our failings and our struggles, okay? He says, let us remember that God is greater than our heart. He knows all the things, okay? All the things. Nothing's hidden from Him, all right? And He will deal with us not according to our conscience, but in harmony with the eternal and unchangeable principles of right. Knowing all things, He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Amen.
And He will deal with us accordingly. Let us then not be disturbed by the prompting of the conscience, but conform as far as possible to the standard of right, with the assurance that He will approve our course at the last day. I love that. I love that.
Amen.
God is greater than our hearts. When we look at our heart and we do that self-examination, we say, boy, I've got heart problems here. We want to give up on God. We need to remember, He's the great physician. He's the heart surgeon. He's greater than any struggle, any problem that your heart can feel, if you just give it to Him. And don't beat yourself up over whatever it is you have done in the past. And the reason I say that and emphasize it is because there are too many Christians who are doing that to themselves. They give up on God because they feel like they've done too many bad things or something so horrible that God can't forgive them. The message is God is greater than our hearts. No matter what condition your heart is in, He can heal it. So, here's the encouragement for us to do a spiritual checkup on our hearts, an EKG, if you will, okay? To look at the spiritual condition of your heart, to assess what's going on in your heart, what is motivating you in the things that you are doing, and to know that whatever might be there that shouldn't be there, that as the psalmist says, that God is testing and looking and searching for those anxious thoughts and whatever sin struggles we might be having, that God would take those away from us. And that's my prayer for you this morning. Okay? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And Ray, you're going to be in the back, and Dale will be in the back. Hold on just a second here. Before we do that song, I'm just going to share with you Ray's thoughts. He wants prayers. for his heart. For his heart and his relationship with his wife, Betty, and being patient with her as she's trying to take care of him and all those kind of things. You know, when you struggle a lot of times, especially with those physical things, it can really weigh on us, can't it? So let's stop right now. Before we do our invitation song, we'll open the invitation to everybody else, but let's go to God in prayer. Our God and Father, I want to come to you this morning, and I lift up our brother Ray before you. Father, I thank you so much for his heart. Father, as he comes this morning just asking for prayers for his heart, Father, I bring him before you, the best heart surgeon that there ever was. Father, that you would take his heart and mold it and make it, strengthen it, and make it what you want it to be. Father, bless him and hold him close to you, I pray, and also for Betty in the same. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. Tom is going to lead us in a song, and if there's anyone else that maybe you're looking at the motivation of your heart, maybe there's some things going on, some anxious thoughts, some sin struggles going on that you need to deal with, now's a great time to give that to the Lord. So let's stand together and sing. Tom?